on House Bill 5049. And what we're going to do with this bill, there are some numbers that legislative staff has come up with that are different than what the commission came up with. So what we're going to do is have a work group today at 3 o'clock. I'm going to appoint some members from this committee to go with the players from the education committee and get some clarification. Steve Bender went over the numbers, and there, according to his numbers, there's not a $1 million shortfall. And he, according to his numbers, they all should be able to be served. So we're going to have some clarity on this issue. We're going to get together at 3 o'clock with scholarship commissions and interested parties. I'm going to ask Representative Wilson, myself, and Representative Leonard, and I'll let him know when he gets there. Hopefully he can attend. And we'll sit at a table and get this all cleared up and bring this back tomorrow. So that's where that stands. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 5049 and open the public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 512. Adrian, when you want to get started here?
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee. You have Senate Bill 512 in the B in growth condition. It came over to you from the House Committee on General Government, so it has been through both chambers floor sessions and adopted in the B in growth version, as I say. In your packet, I have provided you with a copy of the staff measure summary and the fiscal impact statement on the B in growth bill as it is in front of you at the moment. The fiscal impact has to do with staffing costs at the newly created Tri-County Building Industry Service Board that would be located within the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And the function of that board is to coordinate the building code activities in the Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington County Tri-County area. The revenue also for the bill as fee and growth was reflecting the fee schedule that the board would be able, or the department would be able to create in order to fund the services of the new board. And in front of you as well for discussion, which you have folks to bring the discussion of how these were created to you, that's D7 amendments, which address the distribution of funds from the Tri-County Building Industry Service Center account for the functions of the new board, and also D8 amendments, which decrease a surcharge that's permitted to be charged from on building permits in the Tri-County area from 1.5% to 1%. So the updated fiscal impact statement on D8 amendments reflects a decrease in revenue. The expenditure portion remains the same. And Joe Brewer is here from the Building Codes Division to address the bill. And Paul Phillips is also here from the task force that works cooperatively to come up with some positions.
A procedural question. Why didn't the other subcommittee do all this?
Actually, that was Representative Wilson's committee. As far as the weight of how much we charge, that would assist me.
Clarification, why did we not do what?
Am I misunderstanding that this has been in the general government subsidy, or has it been in a subsidy?
No. Madam Chair, no, it was the House Committee on General Government.
Oh, I thought
the crossover
it was
committee.
I thought it was gone from one subcommittee to another subcommittee.
No.
I wasn't being able to figure it out.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, Representative Wolf.
If I could say a little about this, this did come out of the House General Government Committee, the committee that I chair. A couple of things I want to say about the bill. Typically speaking, I am extremely skeptical on something that appears to engender a new layer of government. I think most of you know where I stand on issues like that. But in taking a look at the bill as it appeared before our committee, I was impressed more than anything with what I perceived the need in the Tri-County area for something that began to give consistency to the people within the trades, and the people who were the actual consumers of the building industry. And I've got to tell you, I was extremely impressed by the amount of work that went into this bill. There was quite a bit of trimming and altering to it once it did get to our committee. Almost all of the players involved were very actively involved in trying to craft something that that mitigated and increasing bureaucracy as much as possible. I think bottom line is we're going to know in 2 years how this thing is operating and how well it's doing. But anytime you have 32 jurisdictions in one specific area, many times the people in the trades, contractors, are not even exactly sure what jurisdiction they're in due to blending boundary lines and so forth. I think it's a great product to address issues of consistency and definition. And so I was happy with the product as it left our committee, and you've got a couple of amendments here that to take a look at today. I'm going to withhold judgment on those. Well, the B7 is something that had to be done to further define a specific area. The B8 I really haven't looked at much or thought about too much at this point. But anyway, I just wanted to give you a little background on this bill from my committee standpoint. I think it's a pretty fine piece of work, and time will tell exactly how beneficial it's going to be, but I expect it will.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. That's helpful to understand what you have done and your perspective on this. At that level, did you have much testimony from the jurisdictions, from the cities and the counties that were involved?
Yes, we did.
Okay, and so what is their view on this at this point?
Initially going into it, I felt that they were against it. They were concerned about a couple of things with the bill. They were concerned about the rulemaking authority over this board, and the turf battle that that represents. They were also concerned about the composition of the board itself, the makeup of the people there. I think gradually as it went on, they became in less opposition to it and perhaps more benign. And my feeling is they're still not wild about it, especially because of turf issues, perhaps. You know, that would be my estimation. The biggest concern is. So I think at this point, perhaps grudgingly neutral might be the best word.
And so, did they get? It was my understanding that they got some more representation on this group. As part of what you worked out was better representation for them.
As we, my initial answer on that, it's been a bit since we've done this, but I believe so, but we better address that. But I think that was the case.
Okay, Mr. Brewer.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Joe Brewer. I'm the administrator of the Building Codes Division. The division, the department, Department of Consumer and Business Services, participated in the task group that brought this product to the legislature this session as an observer. What we observed was that there was agreement amongst the representatives on the task group as to what the obstacles were. The task group was a broad cross-section of industry as well as the private and public sector. The obstacles that the group felt that were presented by the 27 to 32, depending on how you count the number of jurisdictions, caused builders in that area to deal with different forms, different procedures, different interpretations of very technical standards, and difficulty in establishing planning timeframes due to these differences. It's just simply hard to plan a project when you don't know what procedural nuances you're going to be facing. The division believes that Senate Bill 512 provides a framework for removing many of these obstacles in the metro region, hopefully providing more consistent administration of the building code. The proponents of Senate Bill 512 agree that a regional approach will provide for some streamlining, some simplification, hopefully some clarification of these programs. 512, certainly the cost related to it is a valid concern. The service center concept outlined in my mind must stand on its own. It must be self-supporting. Builders and their customers in the metro area currently incur hidden costs related to time delays, inconsistent code interpretation, and the dedication of actual full-time staff just for waiting in line at the building department dealing with processing permits. So I believe the service center can alleviate some of those costs from the industry. Time is money on a construction project, and the Tri-County Service Center will simplify permitting processes and hopefully bring the jurisdictions together in, I hope, more than grudging agreement with the approach. This has been fairly contentious in the substantive committees, and my hope is that the concessions that were made by the proponents in Representative Wilson's committee will bring the jurisdictions to a point where they understand this is a process that hopefully is viable and will work. The bill implies a very aggressive rulemaking process. Representative Wilson referred to we'll know in 2 years. I certainly hope we'll know in 2 years. It's going to be tough getting this up to speed and running as quickly as it needs to be. I have worked with the chair on the fiscal impact statement. We have reduced the surcharge from 1.5% to 1% by indicating that we could fund the dedicated training specialist for this activity from the current training funds. Now that will reduce the amount of resource that's available for contract training, but there will be a full-time person working with jurisdictions in the metro area on consistency. And I can tell you, this is a long-standing problem. I worked for Tektronix a number of years ago as site electrical engineer at Walker Road and at Wilsonville, and there were different code interpretations in Washington County versus Wilsonville, and you simply had to deal with that on your construction projects. So hopefully we can begin to address some of those issues through this process. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Representative
Bass. What were the concerns of local government that they moved from hating this to grudging acceptance?
Representative Rush, we're going to have Jane Cummings.
Oh, good. Well, I'd like to have his. Okay. I'd like to have his perception because
right.
She's not objective.
All right.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, thank you. My understanding of the jurisdiction's concerns were broad-ranged, stemming from the very beginning at being compelled to come to the table to do this. Also concerned about the broad rulemaking authority that the board had. I believe that was addressed through requiring concurrence from the director on any rulemaking that would take place. There were concerns about the authority of the board in terms of directing local governments and how to address issues identified in program reviews. I believe that was addressed. And I think there were also concerns about representation on the board, which I believe was addressed in Representative Wilson's committee. So I believe, actually, the proponents of the bill have come a long way to trying to address the concerns of the jurisdiction. I share the jurisdiction's concerns. Remember, the department is a jurisdiction itself that faces the same issues. And, frankly, we're going to be in the very difficult position of having to make this work. So I'm hoping we can build a working relationship with the jurisdictions and really make this a positive experience.
Mm-hmm. And how was the representation problem addressed?
Through the chair, Representative Ross, I'm going to provide the same plea that Representative Wilson did. It's been a while. My recollection is that additional representatives from the jurisdictions were put on the board. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if that was an elected official or a building official.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I recall, and I say it has been a while, but I think the localities, your cities and counties, felt that it was the makeup of the board was too labor intensive, and so it was reconfigured to make it less so.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Burke? Thank you very much. Jane, you want to come on?
Madam Chair.
That's been a bra.
I did not mean to impugn her character. I was.
It's too late now.
It's too late now. That's why you apologize later. My intention was simply to say that she represents a certain point of view.
Sure. Yeah. I understand. I hope she does. Good
morning, Jane. Madam Chair, members of the committee, and I have written across. I see a paper in front of me in capital bold letters. try to be objective. Let me give you a little history and then let you know where we are on the bill as it is today and how we hope that it will come out of this committee. Cities did not oppose the bill that set up the task force in this interim. We had been on a previous task force and we were skeptical. However, we did not oppose the bill. We joined the task force. Representatives from 24 cities that have building inspection programs were represented by several people. They helped develop the list of problems. They understood what the problems from their point of view are, and it's not just the users of the system, but it's those that are implementing and administering the codes that have some problems. So they helped develop the problems list. They helped develop the solutions. Where they did not agree is with the development of a new state board and with the high costs that that brings with it. Originally, the bill was designed in a little bit different way, and we have worked to, I think, make it one where local governments are engaged. And this is, I guess, the point that I really want to make, is that there were several city representatives that said that we recognize that there are problems. There are problems for us. What we want to do is to improve consistency, enhance services, and enhance the capability of our folks to administer the state building code, which is increasingly becoming more and more complex. And in the Tri-County area, they understand the need to create the consistency because there are so many people that work across jurisdictional lines. But they also said it would be far better to engage local government rather than to impose something on them. So on the House side, we worked to sort of shift the emphasis from imposing to engaging. Thus, the concerns we had really were with the composition of the board, the board's authority, and with the amount of money that it costs. On the representation on the board, we suggested in the bill was amended to include a city elected official and a county elected official. We feel that that is, goes along with that line of let's engage and not impose. I think that's a very important amendment. We were able to agree to some amendments that pulls back the sweeping authority that the board had been given. In the original bill, the board was even allowed to override local operating plans that had already been approved by BCD, and we felt that this was going to cause a lot of confusion and a lot of, actually we thought it might even lead to less consistency. That sweeping authority has been restricted, and so for instance, the board now may make recommendations to the division on how local jurisdictional plans could be improved, but they can't override and order the local government, you shall, you know, change it this way. I think that's much improved. On the cost, we looked at the training. We were very concerned about the training, and we've heard from the bill proponents, and I imagine they may speak to this today, is that training is one of the very key aspects of trying to get consistency, and we agree. But we also know that we have a statewide code, and it is very important to make sure that that training is maintained statewide. You don't have a tri-county area with one, set of interpretations and training for a statewide code and then something else outside. And so we wanted to make sure that there are sufficient funds left with BCD to carry out the statewide training, particularly since this state allows its code to be changed periodically, and sometimes it's more often than not. Major code changes, there is a required training that must go on, and we wanted to make sure that that is truly a statewide approach. So we suggested that, as the bill was originally written, it said that half of the training dollars collected by BCD from the 1% surcharge would go to the Tri-County area. Understand that may be a very high amount, I think $800,000 or $900,000 in a biennium, but they only appropriate like $400,000 or $500,000 to $400,000 or $500,000 to $500,000. So actually the Tri-County area would be getting all the dollars that were actually allocated, and that didn't make sense, and we understood that proponents really didn't mean that, so the wording was changed. But what you see before you today is the amendment that actually was passed by the General Government Committee but somehow did not get put into the Bee and Gross, and that is the key to us to have it that no more than or an amount not to exceed one half of the training dollars that come in from the surcharge go to the Tri-County area, because that allows the administrator the discretion to say one year, for instance, if there's statewide training because the code change has been made, then the dollars can be retained at the division to make sure that that training goes on. And another year when there's not that need, maybe there are more dollars available that could go out for training in the Tri-County area. The key there, I think, for training is really to get at the consistency. And that's, if I could, I'd like to spend just a minute to talk about the fiscal impact. And if I haven't said it before, I guess I should say that with the changes that were made and with the adoption of the Dash 7, the League would no longer oppose Bill 512. And that's the best I can say on that. But we have come a long way. I want to mention, though, on the fiscal impact, a couple things, because, as I mentioned, one of the concerns that local jurisdictions have is the high cost. Because if you look down the road, you have a new state board, you have this service center, you have the ability of the board to create technical and advisory committees, and you have in the bill their ability to raise funds several ways. They can raise fees in the Tri-County area, plus they can increase the surcharge. And I know this morning there's an amendment that suggests that maybe that limitation could be a 1% surcharge and not a 1.5%. And I would urge you to look in that direction of reducing the cost. But understand that there's still the ability of the board to raise the fees. And every time, of course, you raise the fees, and the surcharge is going to go up as well. But in the fiscal impact statement, as I have it, there was a discussion of having a training specialist, and whether that's needed or not, I'm not clear. It depends on how that training specialist is used. The key is going to be to actually get the training and not build more administration and staffing just to track contracts. I think ECD already has the capability of doing that. The other key is to make sure that the training that they receive is really statewide training, and then there's an extra piece that they get to make sure that they're getting the consistency. But the other, there is also a staff person that would do a special baseline review for all jurisdictions in the Tri-County area, and that says subsequent reviews will be conducted by existing staff. Now, several weeks ago, I talked with Mike Greenfield and Joe Brewer about what this actually meant, because review carries significance. That term review carries significance. We look at it as an audit. We already have an audit program that was put in place a couple of years ago. And what I was told was it was really a survey, a way of getting what are the local jurisdictional fees, what are their processes, what are their procedures, to start addressing, pulling together common procedures and processes and models as it's called for in the bill. And my question is, why do we need to hire someone especially to do that? And this is, again, getting to engaging rather than imposing. If the board has the ability to set up work groups, technical and advisory committees, I believe that the staff person who is going to be staffing the board can work with a work group to gather those forms and processes and procedures, including members from those jurisdictions on the work group, so that they are engaged to help develop the results, the forms, processes, and procedures. That will also go a long way to alleviate pressure on using those training dollars to train just in the use of these forms and procedures, but rather can get more at how do we get true consistency. Because we look at that training need that is specific to the Tri-County area in this way. If you have a lot of jurisdictions and you have a very complex code, you're going to have people, whether you have one jurisdiction or 24 cities and some counties doing it, interpreting differently. And if a contractor finds that he or she thinks that something ought to be more consistent, then that message ought to go to the board, and that ought to be addressed. But there's a lot of the basically of putting implementation together of this that can be done for, we believe, a lot less money and by engaging the jurisdictions rather than imposing on them. Those would be my comments this morning, and I'd be glad to answer any questions, and I will try to be objective.
It's always very complete.
Yes. Any questions for Ms. Phillips? Thank you very much. Mr. Phillips?
Representative
Gardner, Representative Hanson. Head you up from the get-go.
Madam Chair, if I may, I'm going to breach legislative etiquette by going in front of two representatives, if that's okay with the Chair, only to set up their presentation.
Is this okay with the representatives?
Okay with
me. All right.
Okay.
There we go. Also, breaching legislative etiquette.
Yeah.
Same old story. We're going to see the day.
Never happened before.
No. That's exactly my point.
For the record, my name is Paul Phillips. I represent the Metro Building Codes Consolidation Task Force. To begin this testimony, I think it's important to recall and frankly thank Senator Jean Durfer, who in 1997 helped this process underway. That was a period of time where there was considerable contention. We set up this task force. These two gentlemen worked very diligently. Representative actually worked as a representative of the counties at that time because he was Multnomah County Commissioner. Representative actually worked from his viewpoint as an electrician in the state and was very helpful as this process moved forward. We worked for almost 2 years, Madam Chair, to build consensus and an overall viewpoint. It passed through the Senate 22-6. Went to Chair Wilson's committee. He established a work group, got us again together. We're able to deal with some of the issues that Representative Ross raised, Madam Chair, dealing with the membership of the committee. We believe that the bill is ready to go. We do have the -7 amendment, which we would encourage you to adopt. We believe, in fact, the record would indicate that they were adopted in Chair Wilson's committee, but just not codified in the 512E version. So we'd ask that you formally adopt those, and then you have the -8 amendment that is a fiscal decision. I would just like to reiterate that in the room here today, we have representatives from Sheet Metal, Plumbing, Electrical, the State Building Codes, AGC. We have, in addition, individuals from Plumbing and Heating and Cooling Contractors. We have the Metro Home Builders. We have Associated Building and Contractors and Independent Electrical Contractors. The importance there is it's union and non-union across the industry. The City of Portland, it's been dramatically improved in support of the bill. I think that's the way dramatically improved was used. And AOC is in the process of requesting support, and you just heard from LOC and no longer in opposition. With that, Madam Chair, we'd encourage the adoption of the A7s. The A8 is a fiscal decision that is up to you to decide, obviously. With that, Representative Hanson, perhaps you'd like to add your comments?
Well, just very briefly, one way to look at this is virtually a quality improvement system. Now, this is the information that we're dealing with, especially the minutiae in the codes, is very complicated. There's a culture amongst building code officials that that like to keep their flexibility in terms of and their independence. We've got a lot of different agencies involved, different code officials. This is a way to bring really everybody together, the building officials and the industry, to start a process of quality improvement. And that quality improvement, this is the start. It's vital to the industry that it gets started and it continues. I hope at some point it would also include fire official involvement, how the fire code attaches on this, the inner workings between this and we found out in the task force. To really speed a project along, probably the transportation decisions are as important as the building code decision. But what we need to get started on is a process that can start the quality improvement so that we can find a good, solid way of protecting the public as well as being able to move projects along in a timely manner, and this is a real tremendous start.
Thank you.
Thank you. For the record, Dan Gardner, State Representative from House District 13. In the interest of brevity and in the interest of most everything I will tell you about the history of this bill has already been said several times. I just say that, you know, I was greatly pleased to have a lot to do with the task force and help the process along a little bit. I think this bill is of great benefit to business. It's of great benefit to the industry and to consumers as well. There's a lot of lists of tasks that are contained within the bill, including the minor label program, which currently we have different jurisdictions going out of date in service trucks around the area. If we can have it complete county or complete tri-county wide rather than the individual jurisdictions, I think there'll be benefits and cost savings along that way. I think it's a benefit to consumers to be able to apply for a permit in any one of the jurisdictions if you have a uniform building permit form throughout the entire Tri-County area instead of having to go to one individual place. I think it'll be a benefit all the way around, and I just encourage your support of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'd encourage an aye vote and move it on to a work session and on to the floor. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I had a couple questions. One is my understanding correct that this board has the power to raise fees?
Has the power to raise fees. One moment. Madam Chair, I just wanted to make sure, and Representative Ross, that I answered it accurately. Power to raise fees only in conjunction with BCPS and building code.
But we have this, how many of a jurisdiction it is, what, 15, what?
32
jurisdictions, and they currently have their own fees, and in terms of consistency, those are not charging enough in the board's view. The board would have the authority to move to raise that fee without concurrence of the local jurisdiction.
Well,
that's correct. I'm just trying to find out.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, I don't believe that would be an accurate portrayal of the way the board would work, given the makeup and the way we've compromised and changed the makeup to include city, county officials, all the people. It would be done in concurrence. The goal here is threefold: streamline, simplify, and clarify. That's the goal of this process, and it's done by inclusion of all the parties, including the state building code, because it is a state code administered locally, but in participatory fashion with all different bodies there. So,
well, where does the buck stop? Who actually gets to decide if Tualatin is going to raise their fees? If the board thinks that's needed for consistency, who's the end decision maker?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, again, for the record, my name is Joe Brewer. I'm the Administrator of the Building Codes Division. Whether Tualatin can raise its fees or not is currently an issue for Tualatin.
Mm-hmm.
Tualatin can raise its fees, and then if an organization representing more than 10 people or more than 10 people appeal to the division, the division will conduct a hearing and determine whether those fees are reasonable and necessary. My interpretation of the bill, and I might need to reread it again, I believe the Tri-County Service Center Board can set fees related to the Tri-County Service Center and related to the services it provides. I don't believe it can change fees for jurisdictions unilaterally.
I would just point out that on page 3 of the bill, section 4, sub 5, lines 29 and 30, it says that the Tri-County Building Industry Service Board shall establish standardized criteria and methodology for determining the amounts for permits that are required under state building code. So in reading the bill, I haven't seen anything that says they established the fee amount, but it does say that they established the criteria and methodology that is used to determine what the fee amount is. So it's standardized throughout the various jurisdictions. And I interpret that to mean you could have different fee amounts in different jurisdictions as long as the methodology to arrive at that amount is the same.
Madam Chair, I would concur with Representative Leonard's comment.
More questions?
Could you just speak to this staff person who's going to do this baseline review, and that would come out of the budget of this new board, and what would be the purposes and the functions and benefit of that person?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, in listening to Ms. Cummins' comments, I made some notes. There have been numerous conversations about the Service Center Board. It has changed over time. I don't recall indicating that the staff person would simply be surveying jurisdictions. Certainly that will be a part of the job, gathering information on the procedures, processes used in all these jurisdictions in the Tri-County area. But that limited duration position will also be used to assist in conducting reviews of programs that have not been reviewed. The division has begun down the path of reviewing programs statewide, and we have done a number in the Tri-County area, but we have not done all of them. And that's why we looked at I believe it's 3/4 of an FTE, phased in over time, limited duration, so we'd expect that position would go away when the work was gone.
Is that person a state employee, or is that person a employee of the board?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, my understanding of this bill is that all employees of the Tri-County Service Center will be state employees.
So, if I'm understanding correctly, then this board is a state creature, and you are responsible for the quality of the employees?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, that's my understanding as well. Like the other 5 boards that the division works with, this would be a 6th board that would have limited rulemaking authority, in which the director would be required to concur, and we have all the accountability and responsibilities that come along with that activity.
Thank you.
Representative Leonard?
I do have one question on the board. I don't know if this is different than other boards under the Department of Consumer Business Affairs, but it says that the appointees appointed by the governor serve at the pleasure of the governor, as opposed to what I understood the standard appointments that which a person could be removed for cause. Is that different than other boards?
Through the chair, Representative Ross, the 5 boards that we work with, Representative Leonard, excuse me, I have a fixation.
You look alive.
The 5 boards that we work with are a broad range of types of appointee. Many are appointed by the governor. Some are appointed by the director. So it's a mixed bag.
Well, I wasn't thinking so much about the appointment. I served at the pleasure of. I interpret that to mean the governor could remove a board member with no reason at any time. Is that different than like the structural board or the DCBS? You know which one I'm talking about.
Madam Chair, Representative Leonard, I'm familiar with I was in the room for the experience that Representative Leonard had with our structures board. My understanding is that all of the appointees of the board serve at the pleasure of either the director or the governor.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So they can all be removed
without cause.
At will.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, with that, we're going to close. Is there any other testimony on this? With that, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 512. Open the work.
Madam Chair, I'd move the dash 7 amendment.
Where are they?
They're in the pen.
Pen in your packet. Everybody at the office. Adrian, you want to explain the Dash 7 amendment to committee one more time?
Yes, Madam Chair and members, the Dash D 7 amendments do restructure the section of the de-engrossed bill where the amount of funding going to the Tri-County Building Industry Service Center account is not to exceed one-half of the biennial appropriation, as opposed to the current language that would have one-half of the amount received, which is clarification. That the current language would have a larger amount going to the Tri-County Service Center account under the proposed Dash D7 amendment. It's because of the appropriation amount that goes to that, to the fund that received, excuse me.
Would you like Representative Wilson?
Representative Wilson probably has a better understanding.
All right.
Yeah. It was the intent of the committee to state from the very beginning what the D7 amendments do, to clarify that what we're talking about is an amount not to exceed one half of the biennial appropriation. And really, it was, frankly, it was more of a transcription problem than anything that this D7 addresses. We wanted to clarify that we're talking an amount up to half of the biennial appropriation. So really, it was more of from a grammar standpoint, something that we initially meant to do in the beginning, but for one reason or another, it wasn't printed at all.
Any discussion?
Okay, so just if I understand this correctly, then this can mean that half of all the training money in the state can be used in these three counties.
Up to half.
Yeah. But half can be.
Yeah. And as was mentioned in the previous testimony, the reason that we want it to be up to half is because half is the best case scenario for the Tri-County area. But in a situation in a particular year when you do have the need for training statewide due to an overall code or rule change, you need the flexibility to be able to treat the situation statewide as well.
Further discussion?
Historically, do we know whether it has exceeded half already, and this would represent a decrease, or what would it mean?
Mr. Brewer?
For the record, Joe Brewer, Administrator of the Building Codes Division, according to our fiscal folks, approximately one half of the revenue generated by 1% surcharge comes from the metro area. So this is seen as actually returning up to the portion that is provided by those three counties. About half the construction in the state takes place in those counties.
Okay, so it really does work. The half makes sense.
It makes sense from our perspective.
Okay. Any other questions on the motion? Any objections to moving the D7 amendment? House Bill 512? Seeing none?
Madam Chair, I move the D8 amendment.
Representative Leonard moves the D8 amendment. Discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the D8 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 512 as amended, being gross to the full ways and means of CPAC recommendation.
Representative Leonard moves Senate Bill 512 being gross as amended to the full ways and means as amended. Discussion? Representative
Ross? I'm sure I'll be a no vote on this bill. I do think the problem they're trying to address is real. I do think consistency is needed, and I appreciate the work that they've done. However, this is moving power from these jurisdictions to the state, and it is clear that the state has the final authority in setting rules and in overseeing this and in appointing and dismissing board members, and the cities and counties are not enthusiastic about this. And so the authority has another shift of power from local jurisdictions to a state division that I don't think has a great track record, certainly not working with my jurisdiction, does not, so I'm not happy about giving it more power. And the second problem is with the funding that the state already has a surcharge of 7% because of the action that we've already taken here, and they are going to charge another 1% to fund this activity. If this passes, I wish them well. I hope it succeeds like they think it's going to, but I'll be a no vote because I share the committee chair Wilson's concern about extra layers of government, and this is one, and so I'll be a skeptic until it's approved.
Any other no votes? Okay. Motion carries. Bill 512 as amended to the full committee. Representative Wilson, would you carry this on the floor?
Sure.
And Representative Leonard, would you like to carry this to the floor?
Sure.
Okay. With that, you're adjourned.
Hey, all right. Hey.